By the way, what's the great gift you have ever received? Maybe what's the greatest gift you have ever received? Could you share with me? Your wife, okay. Catherine is the greatest gift that Ronnie has ever received. How about Alice? Your car, okay. Okay. So, but let me share with you one of the greatest gifts I ever received. It is this watch. This is a 22-year-old watch. Obviously, it's still working because I was timing myself. And I want you to look at it so that you see it's really working. What's the time on it, Jonathan? 11.04. I usually adjust that like a few minutes faster than the actual time. So this watch still works. It's been 20 years old already. Older than most of you guys. I believe most of you are only about 12, 13 years old. Some of you in college, about 18, maybe 20. Okay? So this is a very old watch and still working. And this is a watch my dad gave me before I entered into the first year of middle school. It still works. And it was with me through my middle school years, high school years, and then college years, and then work years, and then my wedding. And then in Dallas, my graduate school training in the seminary, and then now here in Baton Rouge. So it has been with me from Hong Kong to Southern California, to Northern California, to Dallas, that's Texas, to Louisiana. It has been with me for a long time, and it has traveled with me long distances. As I thought about this gift, I found out that why is this gift so great to me? It is because it brings great joy to me. Why does it bring great joy to me, like no other gift I've ever received? It's because it expresses the deep love my dad has for me. Second, it met a great need I had at that time, and still meets a great need I have now. And third, it changed my life. Why? Did this watch give me great joy? It's because 22 years ago, before I entered into middle school, I found out that I didn't even have a watch. And my dad, 22 years ago, bought a watch that's still very decent even now. Even on an adult's wrist, you will not notice that this is a 22-year-old watch and it looks very nice. And it met a great need I had. It's about time, because my dad knew time would be very important for me in middle school, high school, and for the rest of my time years in my life. And my dad gave me this watch to remind me the importance of time. And since then, I've been trying to manage my time well, and I try to do things in a timely manner. And that's why you see things that I do usually is timed in minutes. So I'm very accurate about time because I know time is very important in school. You have deadlines to meet in school. You have deadlines to meet at work. You have deadlines to meet in your life. Like you have to finish Christmas shopping probably by today. If you haven't done it, so probably you should not, will not have time to do it. So time is very crucial. And my dad, through this gift, changed my life. Today I will share with you from Luke chapter 2 verse 8 to 12, a gift that's even better than this watch. This gift brings the greatest joy to the whole world, all the people in the whole world, because it expresses the deepest love God has for all people in the world. Second, it fulfills the greatest need of all mankind. Third, it changes our lives forever. In terms of extent, it was infinite in comparison to this watch. And you can receive this gift. And you can also share this gift with other people too. So I'm going to actually give you this gift at the end of the message. So everybody will get a Christmas gift from me today. Okay? According to Luke chapter 2 verse 8, it's also on the slide. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and there will be for all the people, everybody in the world." Verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. The whole world has been waiting for. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The birth of Jesus brings the greatest joy to the whole world because it expresses the deepest love from our God, fulfills the deepest need that everyone has in this world, and it changes our life forever. You'll see why. First, the birth of Jesus brings the greatest joy to the whole world. I said in verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy.'" Great joy. That will be for all the people. Why is Jesus' birth? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Jesus' birth brings joy to the whole world. Why? It's because the birth of Jesus expresses God's deepest love for all mankind. According to verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Think about it. God, in His highest glory in heaven, became a fragile little baby in a manger in the most terrible and dangerous conditions, because King Herod the Great would be hunting down, would be trying to kill Jesus. Jesus would be tortured. Jesus would be nailed on the cross, all for our sins' punishment. It expresses the greatest love God has for mankind. That's why we should be joyful to celebrate Christmas Day. Second, the birth of Jesus was for fulfilling the greatest need of mankind. What is your greatest need now? Maybe you'll think about your need from a perspective of now, a very short period of time. But ultimately, our ultimate need from an eternal perspective, do you know what is that? It is about our eternal destination. Everybody will face first physical death, and after that there will be eternal death if you don't know God, if you cannot meet God's standards to be holy, to be able to go to heaven. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, just as man is destined to die once, not just once, and after that to face judgment. God is the most just judge of all. You'll see this world, there's so much evil. And even the Lord cannot catch some of those evil people who are violating the Lord. But God will punish all sins during the final judgment. God is holy, and He is just and fair. But we all will be judged, because we all have sinned. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned." You might say, "I am a nice person. I'm very nice to my wife." And Ronnie will think, "See, I'm nice. I'm a good person. See, you're good to other people. You help other people. Why am I a sinner?" Sin is anything we think, we say, we do that's against God's perfect, holy standard. There are sins of commission. What does that mean? When you do things that's bad against God's standard, God say, "Don't do that," okay, and you do it. Something bad, you have committed a sin. But there are also sins that's called sins of omission. There are good things God wants you to do. You say, "Sorry, I'm too busy, I will not do that." God wants us to love Him. God wants us to love other people around us, to help those people in need. But we say, sorry, we are too busy. We don't have time to love God, to read God's word, to pray to God, and to help those people around us who are in great need. You have committed sins of omission. You have omitted what is the right thing to do. Let me give you some examples of sins. Sin of omission. When we lust, hate, envy, anger in our hearts, in our mind. When we lie, when we cuss, when we gossip, when we speak unkind words to people with our mouth. When we steal, when we speed, when we are driving. I believe everybody probably sped when you were driving to church because you were in a hurry. We have committed a sin against this world's standard. And of course, it will also be against God's perfect standard. Some of us might have read or might still be reading pornography, or have watched or might be watching dirty, unnecessarily violent movies. With your eyes, sorry, you have committed a sin with your eyes. There are sins of omission, as I mentioned, when we refuse to love God and love people when we have the chance. We have sinned. Put up your hand if you have not committed any of those sins, even once in your life. Put up your hand. I want to congratulate you because you're a perfect human being and you'll be able to go to heaven by yourself. See, nobody put up his or her hand. That means we are all sinners. The Bible is true. We are all sinners. But the penalty of sin is eternal death, judgment of our sins, to be eternally separated from God in hell. That would be the most terrible thing that can happen to anyone. That's why every human being in history tries to escape from that by their own method. In Buddhism, try to do good works, and in other religions, also try to do all the good things, thinking that if I do another good thing, I'll be good enough in God's eyes, and then I don't need to go to hell. But how good is good enough? Even if a really nice person, if you have even spoken a lie one time, you are still a sinner in God's eyes and you cannot enter heaven where there should be no sin. And it will not allow even a good person who has sinned once to enter into heaven. There was a guy in a national park. And this guy was an idiot. He chose to swim in one of the hot springs in the national park. Hot springs, really hot, okay? And the national park forbade people to do that. It was against the national park's rules. And this guy even took a picture of himself, feeling proud of himself. He took a picture in front of the hot springs. And in the picture, there was a sign that read, "If you swim here, you will die." Okay? And next to these words on the sign was the image of a stick figure person falling off the edge of a cliff, warning that if you swim in this hot spring, it's not the heat that will kill you, but there will be a cliff. You would drop under the cliff and you will be you'll die, okay? But this guy chose to ignore the warning. He enjoyed his hot spring swim, so warm and comfortable. But upon getting out, he stepped on some rocks and he slipped and he fell into the open waters that pulled him over to the waterfall cliff that caused his death. The sign was true. Whoever swims in this hot spring would die, but this guy did not believe. As a result, he died tragically and in a very stupid way. God gives us warning all throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are all sinners. Not only that, there will be a very negative, terrible consequence for sin. Eternal death in hell. It's like there's a sign, do not sin. If you sin, you will eternally die. Most people ignore that, keep on sinning, and some of them will just ignore. I don't think there's hell. Wait until you die and you will see. We sometimes all act like this idiot. We sometimes are idiots in our life by sinning against God or ignoring God. We all will end up in hell even if we try to do good things, because even good and nice people have sinned and are sinners, and the punishment of sin in God's eyes is the eternal separation from Him. In hell, there's really no hope for us to escape this death by our own power, although human beings have tried every single way to escape this. This is the greatest need. But you know what? God also loves us so much, He doesn't want us to go to hell. But He is the perfect judge. How can a perfect judge not judge someone who has committed sin? Do you see? God must judge us, but God also loves us so much. Do you see a dilemma there? A contradiction there? It is an extremely difficult situation. How can you resolve that? As human beings, we don't have the wisdom to resolve that. But God not only is holy, just, loving, but He also is the wisest God. He has the wisdom. And combined with His holiness and love, He finds a solution for our problem. Our problem, we should be bearing the consequences, and yet He didn't want us to bear the consequences. This is what God did, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us in our place for our sins. During World War II, on February 3rd of 1943, four chaplains were on board a ship. It's a troop transport ship. It transports troops from one place to another. There were 900 soldiers on that ship. After midnight, about 90 miles from Greenland, a German torpedo hit the ship, and it immediately began to sink. The suddenness of the attack, the darkness, and the panic below the deck caused many to just come up to the top of the deck without bringing their knife jackets. But without knife jackets and gloves, there was no chance of survival, because the water was freezing at the time. The four chaplains got their knife jackets, but he found four soldiers in a hurry did not bring their knife jackets. And what did these chaplains do? One of them said, "Take this, my son. You need it more than I do." The chaplains knew they already had eternal knife. So these four soldiers obviously didn't have eternal life yet. I'll tell you how you can have eternal life. So he gave his own life jacket to the soldiers. What would happen to the four chaplains? They died. What would happen to the four soldiers? They lived. It's all because the four chaplains were willing to sacrifice their life jackets for the four soldiers. Jesus Christ did the same thing for the whole world, not just for four people in the world. That's what the chaplains did for the four soldiers, out of love. And love comes from God. And God's love is the greatest. Jesus took our sins' punishment on Himself as a sinless man in order to save us. Can sin, can death conquer God? No, after fulfilling God's judgment of sins for us, since Jesus is also God, after receiving sin's punishment for us, He was resurrected. It proved that Jesus is God, and that He has triumphed over death, and He has triumphed over sins, human beings' biggest enemies. Jesus Christ is our only hope to meet the greatest need of mankind. How can we benefit from what Jesus did for us? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says that, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves." Okay? No matter how good you are, sorry, you will not be able to achieve God's perfect standard. It is the gift of God to be given freely to you. It's a free gift, no strings attached, not by works, so that no one can boast. A three-story house was on fire. At the window, there was a little girl looking out, but there was no escape. The fire was burning and she was going to be burned. But outside at the base of the building stands a very strong fireman, and the fireman with arms open, ready to rescue the girl by catching her if she jumps from the three-story building. How can the little girl be saved? Sure, she should have faith that involves knowing that the fireman is there. He should also agree that the fireman is strong enough to catch her. But would that save her? Ultimately, faith also involves on acting on your knowledge and your agreement to the knowledge that it is true by jumping into the arms of the fireman. Our Lord Jesus Christ is like the fireman to save us from eternal fire. When it comes to saving us from sin's punishment, the issue is not only how much faith you have. Because some people have strong faith but in the wrong person. They have strong faith in an idol, a wooden god. That will not save them. They have faith in the sun. They think the sun is God. The sun will not help them. They will still be judged even if they worship the sun. So it's very important that we have the right object of our faith. In order to be saved from our sins judgment in the future by God, we need to have faith in Jesus Christ alone. He is the only salvation that God has given us. According to Acts chapter 4 verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Only Jesus can save us. That's why I say Jesus Christ is the greatest gift to mankind, for it brings the greatest joy to the whole world, because God expresses his deepest love for us through Jesus. Jesus' birth fulfills the greatest need of mankind. What is that? To escape from our own sins judgment. And three, why Jesus' birth should bring us the greatest joy to the whole world. That's why we sing Joy to the World. It's because the birth of Jesus Christ can change our life forever. If you want to have a good life, Jesus can give you a good life. By giving us eternal life to us, when we have faith in him, only in him to be saved from our sins punishment. But Jesus will also help us to live our life, this life and eternal life with God, the best life you can get, man. Knowing, agreeing, and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it gives us eternal life with God. If you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you want to receive this greatest gift in the whole world? Today, on Christmas Sunday. This watch has given me great joy since I received it 22 years ago, because it expressed the deep love of my dad, who has already passed away. Whenever I look at this watch, it reminds me of the love my dad had for me. It fulfills a great need. 22 years ago, until now. It's okay. And it also changed my life to make me someone who is very conscious of time to do things in a timely manner. But the greatest gift in the whole world is Jesus Christ and what he did for us. I shared this eternal gift with my dad and my mom in May of 1997. I said, "Mom, Dad, I know you love me. And you know what? I also love you. I want to be with you and God forever. As a family, we want to be forever. And there's only one and only way for the whole family to be forever with God. That's by believing in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior." I invited them to believe in Jesus Christ. My mom and dad believed in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 4 years later, after 1997, my dad passed away in an accident. I was in total shock, and I was sad. But not to the point of hopelessness. In a funeral, I said, "In Christ, even death cannot separate us, because Christ conquered death. Dad, I'll see you later in heaven, because we both are in Christ." Are you in Christ now? I love you all, because God loves you all. I want to see you all in heaven. So you must be sure that you have the right faith in the right person that's in Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, and you think you have it, and you still are not sure, talk to me. And I sincerely invite you to make the best decision in your life. The best decision I've ever made in my life was becoming a Christian 10 years ago while I was in college. And the best decision I made by inviting my parents to make this best decision so that I know I'll meet with my dad in the future. And my mom will also pass away, but I'll also meet with her in eternity in heaven. If you want to make this decision today, please pray along with me in your heart and tell God your decision. Let me know later that you have made this decision so that I can congratulate you and help you live a good life with God. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you through Jesus you have shared with us the greatest gift one can ever receive, because through this gift, you have shown us your greatest love that brings the greatest joy. Through this gift, that's Jesus Christ, you have fulfilled our deepest need, and that is to escape from God's punishment of our sins that will result in eternal separation from God in hell. You have also, through Jesus' birth, given us great joy. Because through Jesus, not only do we experience God's greatest love, not only do we have our greatest need fulfilled, but we can also have our life changed forever. The best life we can ever have is with God. So God, let us celebrate Christmas with thankfulness. And for those who are here who are not sure that you'll go to heaven because you have never made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, you can pray along with me now like this. It is the decision that's the most important, the honest decision in your heart, not this magic prayer. It's not a ritual that you go through, but your honest decision in your heart. You can pray along with me if you want to make this decision. Our dear Heavenly Father, I know I am a sinner. I know I deserve to be punished to eternal death because of my sins. I have sinned so many times in my life. I am a sinner. There's no way out. But God, you are so loving. You have given your own Son, perfect human being and perfect God, to die in my place for my sins so that I can have eternal life. I need what Jesus did for me, to die on the cross for my sins, to be resurrected so that I will have power to triumph over death and sins. I'm willing to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm willing to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. Come into my heart, Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving me eternal life through Jesus Christ. My prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.